Good morning. My name is Matt. I'm one of the leaders here at Jubilee Church. If you're a visitor and you're new to our online YouTube streaming service, then you are most welcome. As Stephen said, I'm going to be continuing our series entitled Flawed Heroes. Last week, Stephen recounted the story of Gideon, part one. The story of Gideon can be found in the book of Judges, and I have the task of continuing the story with Gideon part two, entitled The Battle. Before I do that, I just want to have a quick recap. The Israelites were being persecuted by the Midianites. They were being bullied, terrorized, oppressed, and living in fear of the next attack. The next time they would come, they would take their possessions, their crops, their cattle, their herds would be stolen. Now, the Israelites have ignored God for some time, but have turned to God in desperation in their hour of need, and God has heard them. Now, when we first meet our hero, he is threshing wheat in a wine press in secret. He doesn't look or feel like a hero at all, and yet the angel appears to him and says this: "The Lord is with you, brave and mighty man." Now, Gideon's reaction, he is one of disbelief. He cannot believe he has the ability or the strength to rescue Israel from Midianite oppression. He is from a poor farming family. He is the lowest in his family. That probably means he's the youngest or has the least glamorous job out of all of those within the family. And you know, Gideon is full of doubt. He really doesn't believe that he is the man for this job. Well, I just want to jump forward, because when we finish part one, with Gideon amassing 120,000 Israelite volunteers to join his army. So what happens next? Well, part two is entitled The Battle. That might give you a clue as to what's coming up. And I'm going to be reading from Judges, chapter 7, verses 1 to 3. I'll wait for the slide to come up, and I will then read what it says. So early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them, in the valley near the hill of Morah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. My own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. So we see there that God wants to show the Israelite people it's his strength, God's strength, and not his own strength, that will deliver them from Midianite oppression. But what must have gone through Gideon's mind? There were 135,000 Midianite soldiers. I started the day with 32,000. I've just lost 22,000. It's not the best of starts. I'm going to read on to the next part of Judges, chapter 7, verses 4 to 7. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap water with their tongues, that a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank with cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions of trumpets and of the others. Now, I imagine the men were thirsty as Israel is a dry and hot country. And if you look at the illustration, which is about to come up, you can see the men who lap the water from cupped hands. These are vigilant, with their eyes looking out for the enemy. We know the Midianite attacks without warning. And God instructs Gideon to only select these men, and thereby leaving Gideon an army of only 300 men. What must Gideon now be thinking? Well, first, I let the fearful go, so I lost 22,000. Then I let those who were not watchful go, and I'm down to 300. How can we defeat the Midianites with 300 men? It's got to be a suicide mission. Let's just read on. Judges 7, verses 8 to 12. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled into the valley, thick as locusts. The camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Is there an illustration? Yes, there is. Can I have the next illustration, please? Sorry. The illustration shows a camp in a valley, but reading the description, it was probably a lot more tense than what's being shown there, because it doesn't appear in that illustration that they were sick as locusts or the camels are going that far. But you can imagine the whole of the valley just covered in tents. We get a sense of what Gideon was up against. In Judges chapter 7, verses 13 to 14, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such a force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Goash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." Now, I can imagine this conversation between the two guards, two soldiers on that night. And there's one saying to the other, you know what? Last night, I had a really strange dream. It's really bizarre. This round loaf of bread came tumbling into the camp and it squashed the tents. And then the other one getting really animated and saying, "Oh my goodness, I know what that means. Gideon, with God on his side, has raised up a mighty army and he plans to attack and destroy us with his sword." I can imagine that kind of fear that starts to go around the camp quickly, and each man saying to the other one, "Have you heard about this new leading Gideon? Do you hear about what he's going to do?" Apparently, they, the Israelite army, are going to kill us in our beds. That's the kind of fear I can imagine going around the camp after these kind of visions. How does Gideon react to the news? Well, if we read Judges 7, verses 15 to 16. "When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, 'Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands.' Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside." You know, I'm not surprised Gideon fell on his knees and worshipped the Lord. He could hear and witness firsthand how God was preparing the way for a victory. By putting fear in the hearts of the Midianites, Gideon had been on a journey from that scared man that we met very early on, hiding in a wine press, to the leader that he had become. You know that line, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Gideon is showing now himself to be the brave and mighty man that the angel has told him he was. You know, this is a huge turning point for Gideon. He's no longer wanting extra confirmation or feeling that weakest or lowest man anymore. If we read on, Judges 7, verses 17 to 20. Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon!" While each man held his position round the camp, all the Midianites ran crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. There's an image that I have. And you can see... So imagine you are one of the soldiers in the camp. You are woken by a loud blast of 300 trumpets and the sound of 300 breaking pots. You look outside the camp, and there across the surrounding hills, the night sky is lit up by 300 torches. And then the loud battle cry of 300 fearless men, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." What did the Midianites think that was going to happen next? Well, they probably thought that the valley was going to fill up with thousands of angry Israelites wielding swords to kill them. Full of fear and panic, they run for their lives. The fear and panic is such that they turn on each other, desperate to survive an attack that doesn't come. As the Midianites run away, Gideon calls for backup, and the Midianites are driven back. In the next scripture that I have coming up in Judges 7, verses 24 to 25. So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they seized the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth-Bara. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. You know, I didn't think we could get through this Judges story without some gory decapitation, and we certainly get it at the end there. But God delivered a great victory for the Israelite people. So what can we learn from this Gideon battle story? Well, there are lots of things we could pull out from this. It's so rich in life lessons as Christians. But I picked up just a few. So please forgive me if I miss out some of your favourites that you know about that I haven't brought to our attention. But you know, when I was remembering those sort of vigilant men who had cut their hands when they were drinking, I was reminded of that scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls round like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." You know, it's easy to forget that the enemy is out there to trip us up and cause us to stumble, to draw us away from following the Lord and staying faithful to God. It's easy to do in lockdown. I encourage you to be proactive, to keep praying, reading the word and worshipping. You know, only 300 out of thousands showed they required the vigilance to be selected. God wants us to be on our guard. And you know, God will also go ahead and prepare the ground for you. God was preparing the ground before the battle happened. The Midianite sages knew about Gideon and were afraid of him. This once ordinary man, the simple farmer, was now greatly feared. And we, as Christians, can put our trust in God that when we go into difficult situations and we bring them to the Lord and we say, "God, go before us and prepare the ground so that we can be free of fear and doubt." And this might be in your workplaces or in your families, or it might be regarding sharing your faith with somebody that you don't know that well, and you're full of that fear of rejection and laughter, and yet God can prepare the way and prepare hearts before we open our mouths. And the other thing is that God can do a lot with the few. You know, it's easy to feel like a small church, just 70 to 80 people, and yet God can supernaturally use his people to achieve great things when we trust God is with us. And of course, God's ways are not our ways. We worship a God of infinite ability, and he can do extraordinary with the ordinary. He can make things happen in a way that we haven't thought of or even expect. Notice the Israelites don't have the latest weapons, the latest armor. They're not the highly trained troops, and yet they defeat a vast army with trumpets, torches, clay pots, and a loud voice. A lot is achieved with just the ordinary. You know, I was thinking about an illustration to show how God's ways are not our ways, and I was reminded of a story of a friend of mine who loved the Lord, and yet his wife was an unbeliever, and he was keen to get her into church. And he was talking to me one day, and he was explaining this elaborate plan he had to try and get her into church, and that if this happened and that happened, and there's a gospel message on that day, and maybe she will come to faith, and we can live as two believers. And I said to him, you know, you stop trying to orchestrate this. You're trying to do God's job. I said, what you should be doing is just praying and trusting, because God can do things in a way that you can't. And he looked at me as if to say, you know, I don't really believe what you're saying, but, I'll give it a try. And 3 months later, he said, you were right. I did what you said. And she has just asked if we as a family can go to the service on Sunday. And it turned out that she'd been chatting to her mum on the school gate, who was going to either a Christmas or an Easter service, and had invited her along, you know, and God was answering the prayer. And he didn't actually have to orchestrate or set up anything at all. And I know that's quite a simple illustration. It can show how God can do things when we try in our own strength, and he can do things outside of that and set things up through prayer and patience. So in my conclusion, Gideon shows how ordinary men and women can rise up, well, just men in that particular case, but it applies to women as well, can rise up and become great in the eyes of God. His life story gives us the encouragement that no matter what the situation we may be in right now, God will eventually work things out for good. So just be patient and put your faith in God. Okay, let's pray. Lord, it's wonderful to know that you love us regardless of how we feel, that you can use the ordinary to achieve the extraordinary, that you go before us, that you can prepare the way for our words and deeds when we trust you and overcome our doubt. Lord, I just pray for strength for every person living to this, to have the courage to keep fighting the good fight, even in these difficult times of lockdown, Lord, to stay faithful to you, to stay committed to you, Father, and not to give up and just park their faith to one side and forget about it until all this is finished. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.